You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and RadioCafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Funding learning initiatives and community programs, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And many thanks to the Lano Foundation for support of the Radio Cafe. I'd like now to welcome April Reese. She's a reporter with Searchlight New Mexico. Welcome, April.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. And we're here today talking about water, groundwater in New Mexico, and the very real effects of contaminants on ordinary people and businesses here in the state. You wrote a story for Searchlight about underground pollution from Cannon Air Force Base. Give us an overview. What's going on there?
Well, this is something that's happening all over the country. There's a class of chemicals called PFAS, P-F-A-S, that stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. Want to repeat that after me?
Nope.
So what this is a class of chemicals. There's thousands of them, and they're found in all kinds of different products, food wrapping, firefighting foams, water repellent fabrics, cleaning products, and other things. And according to the CDC, pretty much every one of us has some PFAS in our system. Companies like 3M started using them back in the 40s, but EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, just issued a health advisory just a few years ago. So they've been out there for a long time, but we're just starting to realize the risks and how pervasive they are. So here in New Mexico, we found PFAS at two Air Force bases, Cannon Air Force Base near Clovis and Holloman Air Force Base near Alamogordo. My story focused on Cannon Air Force Base, and the story I just wrote on this was just published a couple of weeks ago, was a follow-up to a story we initially did in February before I took the job at Searchlight. So Amy Lynn originally did a story looking at the PFAS contamination beneath Clovis Air Force Base. What happened was they were doing firefighting training on the base, in a particular corner of the base, using these firefighting foams that have PFAS in them. And so those chemicals in the foams seeped into the groundwater, and then groundwater moves, and so it became this plume of groundwater, and it migrated to a neighboring dairy, Highland Dairy, which is owned by Art Skop. And so as Amy Lynn reported for us back in February, he had to stop selling milk. He had to dump like 15,000 gallons of milk, essentially shutting down his business. And he had to, so now, you know, he has about 4,000 cows. He doesn't know what he's going to do with. And so we did a series of follow-up stories last month, and my story just looked at what's happened since then. And unfortunately, not much has happened in terms of cleanup. In fact, nothing has happened in terms of cleanup. There's been a lot of different legal action, both by the Air Force and by the New Mexico Environment Department. NMED has been trying to compel the Air Force to start cleanup, but the Air Force hasn't. And they're saying that the New Mexico Environment Department does not have the authority to force them to do anything. So the latest on that legal battle is that NMED just a couple of weeks ago, July 26th, filed a preliminary injunction to force the Air Force to go ahead and start cleanup and delineate the plume. Because what my story was about is that no one's been tracking it for quite a while now. There was the Air Force, to be fair, the Air Force did initial testing, and they were the ones that discovered the contamination. They informed Art Skop, but for quite a while now, they've just halted all actions. They haven't done any additional testing. NMED did a little bit of additional testing several months ago, but there's no one that's systematically conducting regular monitoring. And that's really important because, as I mentioned, this plume is migrating
toward Clovis.
And right, so now what we do know is that it's migrating in the direction of some of Clovis's water wells. And I want to be really clear that, you know, local water officials say that there is no contamination of Clovis's city water supply and that none of their customers are at risk. But it is headed that way. And of course, as it migrates, it could be theoretically affecting other wells. And so that's what residents are really worried about and local officials are worried about.
Now, Art Skop is not only losing his dairy potentially, his cows may be contaminated, the milk is contaminated and can't be used, not even clear whether he can sell his cows, not even clear that if he gets a new herd of cows that they will be safe because the forage growing out of the ground is or could be contaminated. But then there's also Art himself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Art, unfortunately, has developed problems with his kidneys, and that is one of the health effects of PFAS exposure. There's a whole range of health effects, including a suppressed immune system, increased cholesterol levels, and loss of kidney function. And so he's experiencing these kidney problems. And, you know, it's really difficult to draw a straight line between a cause and effect straight line between exposure and health effects. But that is one of the health effects, one of the symptoms of exposure to PFAS. And he's also at a higher risk for cancer because of this exposure.
As is pretty much anybody who has this exposure. And because of the lack of monitoring, we don't know who's exposed. Is that correct?
Right. We don't know the full extent of who's exposed. Part of this preliminary injunction I mentioned, the most recent action from NMED, would also start voluntary blood testing of residents so that we can get a better handle on that. And it's worth mentioning that other states around the country are also dealing with this problem, and some of them have actually been a little bit more proactive for a variety of reasons, and some of them are actually doing more testing of health testing to try to figure out what's going on with their populations, and they've also set their own state levels. So a really important piece of this story, and the reason why cleanup hasn't begun yet, is that EPA just has a health advisory, which is not federal, it's not enforceable. So there's no federally enforceable limits on PFAS contaminants. And because of that health advisory, which right now is 70 parts per trillion, when contamination is found, that's sort of the measuring stick they compare the levels to. So in the Cannon area, for example, testing found levels from, I think, something like 2.7 ppt to 30,000 some ppt, which obviously is much higher than the federal advisory level. But there have been some scientific studies that suggest that the standard actually needs to be much lower than that, and there are health risks at much lower exposures, even in the single digits. And so some states have adopted their own standards. I think New Hampshire has the strictest standard. I think they have 11 parts per trillion for one type of PFAS, ranges from like 11 to 18. They regulated four different types of PFAS chemicals. And New Mexico, as I mentioned in my story, is considering adopting our own standards. NMED is in the process of looking what other states are doing. They're conducting their own science to determine what our standard might be here.
When you think about 7 or 70 or 11, whatever, parts per trillion. Mm-hmm. That just tells you how toxic this stuff is.
Exactly, right. It's very potent. And these are human-made chemicals. They're not found in nature.
So. Right. This situation and this kind of situation all over New Mexico, whether it's from an Air Force base or a laboratory or industrial pollution or whatever, is particularly dire in the face of, I mean, there was just this article in the New York Times several days ago about how 25% of the world's population is in danger of severe water shortages in the next couple of decades. And so when you think about the little water that we have in New Mexico, and then the contamination of that precious, you know, few drops that we are nurturing of water, it's a really scary situation.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up because Clovis, the Clovis area in particular, I mean, all of New Mexico has water challenges, right? Especially with climate change, it's just going to get worse. But in Clovis, they're already looking at water shortages. There are a few homes south of town that have had to haul water, and so they really can't afford to lose any of their water supply.
One of the things that I think is maybe frustrating to people who are really focused on cleaning this stuff up and preventing further contamination is that when the New Mexico Environment Department approached the Air Force Base or then sued the Air Force Base, they said, well, we're federal in your state, so you have no authority over us, instead of saying, oh, we have a problem, let's fix this.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there's a lot of frustration, not only among residents, but among state officials with NMED and the Department of Health, who have tried numerous times in numerous ways to compel the Air Force to clean up this pollution. But what the Air Force is doing, or actually is not doing, in our state is reflective of their national, a larger national strategy. They're really, they've become really resistant to cleanups around the country. So it's likely that this is coming from the top.
And what is the rationale there? Do we know?
Well, because EPA has only set this health advisory of 70 parts per trillion, and there is no enforceable federal standard, there are no standards that would trigger cleanup, if that makes sense.
So it's like a failure of the regulatory framework in the first place.
Right. That's the way a lot of people see it. And EPA actually has initiated a process to determine whether it will set a maximum contaminant level, an enforceable federal standard for PFAS. And that process is likely, well, they're likely to decide whether they're going to go ahead and set an enforceable standard by the end of the year. Based on EPA's track record in this administration, a lot of people are really skeptical that they will set strict standards for PFAS, though.
And so that puts basically the people of New Mexico, and particularly areas around Cannon and Holloman and whatever other places might be using these chemicals, not only in danger, but really without the power to help themselves on some level.
Right. I think a lot of people in the Clovis area are feeling pretty helpless. And I think, you know, there's also, it's kind of a complicated situation in Clovis because so many people in Clovis work at the base or they know people at the base. You know, there's this really long and close relationship between the city and the base. And I think this has tested that relationship. I noticed that it's also led some officials to downplay the extent of the problem, recognizing that Cannon and the Air Force is so incredibly important for the local economy and for jobs. So,
it would be interesting to see a productive process of harmonizing, on the one hand, that loyalty, and on the other hand, that reality of people being essentially poisoned or in danger of being poisoned.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we'll have to see what happens, but
I mean, it's like friendly fire, right? When you think
that
term mm-hmm. of, you know, somebody in the military shooting their own people by mistake. And there's an irony of that. I've been thinking about it since I read your story of, you know, these are forces funded by taxpayers to defend and protect us.
That's a really good point. And of course, the Air Force did not intentionally pollute the water of the town that the base is based in. But the fact remains that this contamination is known. We know about the health effects. And, you know, it's clearly their responsibility to clean it up. And they haven't. They're not even tracking the pollution at this point.
So what are the next steps? How has this story evolved since you published it a few weeks ago?
Well, the big new development, I see this story. This is one of those environmental stories that is kind of like a Medusa, you know, with all these different heads and they're all moving And it's just kind of hard to wrangle it and keep track of everything that's going on, because there's also a lot of research going on. A lot of these chemicals haven't been well studied yet. A couple of them have, but a lot haven't. And then there's this whole regulatory and legal part that's really important. So the latest on that is, as I mentioned, the state filing this for this preliminary injunction on July 26th, so just a couple of weeks ago. And that's a pretty key development, because if they succeed in this, then not only will the Air Force have to start tracking that pollution and delineate the plume, which is hugely important, but also they'll have to go ahead and begin these blood tests to try to get a handle on how this exposure is affecting the health of the population. So that's a key new development. And then the EPA regulatory process that I mentioned, that's an ongoing part of this too that everyone's keeping an eye on.
And meanwhile, what's happening with Art Scop?
Unfortunately, Art Scop is still not able to sell milk. He has installed filters that cost $150,000 on his wells to clean up his own water supply for his dairy. And that's exactly the kind of, that's what you would need to do to clean up PFAS, by the way. The same kind of filters he's using and other dairy farmers in the area are using as a precautionary measure, so that the same thing that happened to Art doesn't happen to them. Those filters are the ones you use for cleanup, but they're very expensive. The dairy farmers have had to pay for them themselves. That's another area where people feel the Air Force has shirked their responsibility. So even though his groundwater is now being treated, he still can't sell milk from the cows. His dairy is still quarantined, and he's still waiting to hear whether he can sell the 4,000 cows he has left for dog food or get some sort of monetary benefit from them. Now, fortunately, I guess, he does have other dairies, but this is a huge economic blow to him, and obviously he is also suffering health effects, so it's really upended his life.
Is there any way that New Mexicans can make their voices heard about this?
Yes, they can submit comments on EPA's PFAS rulemaking process. If you go to EPA's PFAS website, and again, that's PFAS, then you'll find all kinds of information about that regulatory process and the whole history. The EPA site has a lot of great information about the history of these chemicals, what they're found in, who's exposed, what the risk factors are, a lot about the science, and so on. And also, you know, you can talk to local officials at NMED and the Department of Health and express your concerns that way, too.
I will look for links to all of what you just mentioned and put those at radiocafe.org/NewMexican. April Reese is a reporter with Searchlight New Mexico. They're on the web at searchlightnm.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Building resilient children, families, and communities through early childhood support and partnerships, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And the Radio Cafe thanks LANL Foundation for their sponsorship of this program. You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send us any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.